the rest of the story. Paul was a tough man to work with. He was a little distant, first of all, but mainly it was his expectations, the same high standards he imposed on himself. Very few could live up to them. If you got to know Paul, that was difficult in itself. You knew why he expected so much of himself and of you. It went back to his earliest years in Quincy, Illinois, to his father, Paul Tibbetts, Sr., an iron hand, which came down hard on the tiniest misbehavior, a man with high expectations of his own. No telling how Paul would have turned out had it not been for his mother. You see, Mother understood. She saw the sensitivity cowering beneath the shyness, and she nurtured it with her own tenderness. Mother understood. And because she did, Paul not only grew up, but he grew deep. And when the boy enlisted in the Army Air Corps in 1937, Paul Sr. washed his hands of the matter. "You're on your own," he told his son. But it was his mother who whispered in mid-embrace, "One day, son, we're going to be real proud of you." Well, this is the rest of the story. As a military pilot, Paul Tibbetts distinguished himself quickly. He was courageous, unequivocal. He could issue and execute orders with computer-like efficiency. Years in close calls came and went. Now he's flying in the 509th. He's a colonel. There's a bombing run in the morning. It's the afternoon before. One of his crew, Robert Lewis, is inspecting the plane when he looks up at the side and sees something painted there in big block letters. "This is a joke, right?" The ground crew shrugs. "Who did this?" They shrug again. Bob Lewis is getting angry now. "Get that off my plane." But the officer in charge of maintenance says no can do, not without knowing who put it there and why. Now Bob Lewis is fuming. He clambers into a Jeep and speeds off to group headquarters. He'll get to the bottom of this. Storming into Colonel Tibbetts' office, he announces some wise guy has graffitied his airplane. The grin on Tibbetts' face was barely perceptible. "That's my plane, Bob. And I'm the wise guy." And nothing more was said. Tibbetts and Lewis flew their mission the following day, and that was that. For you see, in those pregnant hours prior to the most devastating airstrike in all the history of war, mission leader Paul Tibbetts Jr. recalled the one person who had believed in him from the beginning, the one person who understood, his mother. And thus, facing an assignment which was sure to vilify him should it fail, Colonel Tibbetts would honor his mother's faith and understanding by inscribing on the nose of the strike ship his mother's name. It's been almost half a century since August 6, 1945. Civilians and soldiers alike have trembled to reflect on the explosion heard round the world when the Japanese port cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki were sent nonstop to hell. But now, within that reflection, you will always remember the missions that shortened the war and the courageous young colonel who risked his own life to make it happen, Paul Tibbetts Jr., and the mother who never doubted what he could do. And her name, inscribed on the nose of his plane, is now enshrined in history. Enola Gay. Now you know the rest of the story.